What does the betrayal trauma caused by infidelity and being cheated on actually feel like? I think this question is important because there's a big difference between the normal painful emotions that come from infidelity, the ending of a relationship, being betrayed, and then it actually being a trauma response. Because not everyone who experiences betrayal develops trauma symptoms. Many people feel some grief, some anger, some sadness, some disappointment, which are completely natural responses to loss and hurt. But some people experience something different, something that feels less like heartbreak and more like their entire sense of safety, reality, and identity have all collapsed. So we'll talk about some of the specific symptoms, how they show up in daily life, and how to tell between just normal grief and trauma responses. And whether you're trying to understand for yourself where you're at, or if you're trying to help a loved one understand where they're at, I hope this gives a clear picture of two different things that might be going on. So let's start with the moment of discovery. For many people, the betrayal trauma begins with a single moment, which is the moment they discover the infidelity. And that moment often doesn't feel like sadness. It feels like shock. It feels like the entire story that they found themselves in was a lie. That's the mental side. Physically, your body might react before your mind even fully knows what's going on. Your heart might start racing. It feels like your chest is tightening. You feel nauseous. You feel dizzy. Your hands might even be shaking. The best analogy that I can think of is imagine two detectives entering into a crime scene, trying to figure out who killed this person. And Detective 1 suddenly realizes that there's a good chance that it was Detective 2. Suddenly they're rethinking everything and they feel incredibly unsafe because the murderer might still be in the house. Everything is up for grabs. Everything is interpretable in a million different ways right now. It is very disorienting, to say the least. And for many people, that is when the trauma symptoms truly begin. And those symptoms take many forms. One of the most common is intrusive thinking. And it's not just casually thinking about what happened. It's unwanted, involuntary mental replays that barge into your mind without permission. You might be driving to work, making dinner, trying to fall asleep, in the middle of a conversation, fully engaged, and suddenly images flood your mind, perhaps more vivid than you can even imagine something when you're trying to, of imagined or real scenes of the affair, replays of conversations, details you wish you didn't know, details that you don't know that you're imagining different scenarios for, and questions that are like amplified in your brain, like someone put a sound system in your brain that's being played against your will. How long? Who else knew? Was any of it real? And it's largely involuntary. It just happens. With normal rumination or question asking, you can usually redirect it with a little bit of effort. Intrusive thoughts feel a lot more automatic, like your brain is stuck on the loop trying to process something it can't make sense of. And a lot of people that I meet with, their first thing they tell me is they just want a break. They just want a break from the constant noise in their mind. A second common symptom of betrayal trauma is hypervigilance, a state of constant alertness and monitoring. So this is where scanning comes into play. Checking phones, emails, social media, monitoring tones of voice, pauses in conversation, body language, noticing small inconsistencies that might mean nothing, but they might mean something. Feeling suspicious of innocent explanations, mentally replaying the past, asking yourself questions like, how did I miss that? Were there signs I didn't see? Was there anything else I'm still not seeing? Reanalyzing old memories for hidden meanings. And then it can get very introspective as well, where when he said this, I feel like my left arm tensed up. Does that mean X, Y, or Z? You're reading not only the situation, but your own internal reactions to things, and you're putting a lot of meaning into everything. From an evolutionary perspective, one of the things that make humans unique is that we do put a lot of intentionality into our surroundings. We assume things are more intentional than they sometimes are. And that part of the brain gets turned into this high alert state of vigilance. And the logic is kind of reasonable. The brain is essentially saying, if I stay alert, if I catch every detail, I won't get hurt like this again. But the cost is so high. It's exhausting to stay consistently vigilant. And then you also just don't like who you become. No one wants to be the person who's always suspicious. It can come across as feeling jealous, too, even if that's not the intention. And again, it's like your mind just never relaxes. Even when nothing is happening, you're constantly scanning, because safety now feels conditional and fragile. A third symptom of betrayal trauma is emotional dysregulation. So think of this as like whiplash, rapid, unpredictable swings between intense feelings. One moment you're furious, the next you're devastated, then numb, then hopeful, then ashamed. It can come in the form of emotional intensity, so crying suddenly and uncontrollably, feeling rage that feels disproportionate to the moment that you're in, experiencing panic attacks out of nowhere. Or on the other hand, it can be shutting down, feeling nothing at all, going through the motions but feeling disconnected, describing yourself as numb or checked out or frozen. Along with this dysregulation of the emotions, a lot of people find it hard to sleep. A lot of people lose their appetite, or on the other hand, sometimes they stress eat. There's trouble concentrating at work. They feel constantly on edge. The fourth betrayal trauma symptom that I want to highlight is loss of trust in your own perception. This is when you ask yourself over and over again, how did I not see this? Was I naive? Did I ignore red flags? Can I trust my own instincts? Was any of it real? Did they ever really love me? Were all those moments just lies? What else was I wrong about? And it's like the feeling of vertigo, because you're not just losing your ability to trust the partner who lied to you, you're losing all trust. And that makes the world feel fundamentally unsafe. Because if you can't trust your own perception, how do you navigate anything? And it can often lead to feeling pretty isolated or misunderstood as well. Because if they talk about it, they start to feel paranoid or crazy. One of the most common experiences that I have in meeting with new clients is they start diving into some of how they've really been feeling. And they'll ask me, you know, is this normal? Am I going crazy? It's usually things I've heard over and over and over again. It's a lot more common than you'd think. So how do you know if what you're experiencing is normal grief or a trauma response? Normal grief can include things like deep sadness. It can include anger. It can include crying, feeling hurt, questioning the relationship. But it also usually includes the ability to pretty easily redirect your thoughts with a little bit of effort. And it usually includes emotional pain that goes away more or less on its own after a couple of weeks. Trauma-like symptoms, though, include the intrusive thoughts that feel uncontrollable, hypervigilance keeping you constantly on alert, physical symptoms, panic, racing heart, sleep disruption, avoidance of reminders because they trigger intense reactions, you're trying to avoid anything that might trigger it, persistent symptoms that don't go away on their own after a couple of weeks, impaired functioning, difficulty working, connecting with others, concentrating, managing day-to-day life. The key difference is that trauma keeps your nervous system stuck in that threat mode. Grief is painful, but your system is still processing and moving forward. Trauma is when your system feels stuck, like the threat is still present even when it's not. So my point with this isn't to label yourself and say, okay, that's it, I'm just stuck with this for life. The point is to understand that you might need to do some deeper work, and that continuing to just wait for time to heal all wounds probably is not going to be a working strategy. So feel free to follow or subscribe to this page if you would like to keep learning about what does help people move forward. Feel free to book a call with me if you want to go through that whole process a lot more quickly. But thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.